Hi, I'm Congressman Joe Baca from the 43rd Congressional District from California. I am the founder and co-chair of the Congressional Sex Violence in the Media Caucus. The caucus was created to provide a voice for Congress on the issue of sex and violence in the media, and particularly the video game, movie, and TV industry. Through education, advocacy, and outreach, we are working together to reduce the entertainment industry marketing of sex and violence, and particularly to children, Over 50 years of research tells us about the harmful impact of violence in the media on children. Our message today is simple. Parents are misled by the video game rating. I have reached this conclusion after hearing complaints from families in California and all over the country, as well as reading descriptions of video games content and having seen examples of video game rating. For more than 5 years, parents have told me the Entertainment Software Rating Board, ESRB, ratings are confusing and inaccurate. They are angry and frustrated. Parents are angry and frustrated. Today, we have seen scientific research to support our findings. Parents need to know what is actually in the video game. In order to make informal decisions about what is appropriate for their children and what their children are buying. They need to know that. The video game system was created in 1994 by the video game industry itself through the ESRB in response to an outcry in controversial games like Mortal Kombat and the Nightcap. They are supposed to provide clear and accurate information. That parents can understand and will help them choose games that are right for their children, Yet several studies have called the question the accuracy and ineffectiveness of this rating system. Games rated E for everyone, T for teen, M for mature, have violence, sex, and profanity content that are labeled on the box. According to the ESR, teen rated games have content that may be suitable for persons 13 years of age or older. Titles in this category may contain violence, suggesting themes, crude humor, manual blood, and or infrequent use of language. Boy, especially the language. M-rated games have the content that may be suitable for an age 17 and older. And I say M-rated. These titles in the category may contain content, instant violence, blood, gore, sexual contents, or strong language. This is an M-rated. What's the difference between an M-rated game and a titled adult-only game that has the same language that is not accurate and misleading, you know, to the parents? And this is what an adult-only has content that should only be played by persons 18 years or older. Titled in this category may include prolonged sense of intense violence and or graphic or sexual content or nudity. What was the difference between that and when I read the M-rated? There was no difference in the rating system and what it said. So that's inaccurate and misleading. But a closer look will show you that these ratings are inaccurate. Games that are teen rated have just as much violent, if not more than an M-rated games. Last year, after significant pressure was put on the industry, the ESRB board changed the rating of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas from M to AO, adult only. Together, we can make a difference. And this is bipartisan, and this is why we have the caucus. But already we have seen reports that raise serious doubts about whether the games are being properly rated and marked. Today we will hear from one of the number of several studies that have proven that the ESRB rating failed to accurately list video present in any games. We will also have a leading psychologist who will examine how children play video games and video games, how they affect them, because they dramatize, they live the game, they think they're part of it, and so before they know it, they're hypnotized. And it's also used in our military tactics when we try to condition individuals to kill and war and not to be remorseful about what they've done. Well, these games also dramatize, as we've seen in Columbine and other areas, where a lot of these children have actually killed someone and don't even think about it, and not even remorse about what they've done. Whether it's killing, whether it's violence, whether it's sex, or whatever, they assimilate the action. So before you know it, a child then who has spent so much time and energy began to do that. So we've got to change that. We must ensure that parents have a clear and accurate, objective information about video games and content in order to choose these games that are right for their children. Today, I call on the video game industry to fix the rating system and to provide parents accurate information about video content. Along with Tom Osborne, my co-chair of the caucus, Frank Wolf and I have written letters to ESRB expressing our concerns and inviting leaders to meet with us over the next months here in Washington, D.C. My message to the video manufacturers and sellers is simple. You have a moral responsibility, and we will hold you accountable. It's time for you to clean up your act. Stop thinking of profit. Think of our children. They are our future. We will do whatever is necessary to help parents protect their children. With that, I will turn over to Dr. Kim Thompson from the Ken Griss Project at Harvard University, who will share her research showing that ESR rating system is seriously flawed. And then I will have Dr. Elizabeth Carl, a respected psychologist and leader of and the APA, who will talk about the harmful effects of violent games to our children.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today, and I want to thank Congressman Baca for inviting me to present my research here to the caucus and also to talk with you all this afternoon. Just to say my name, I'm Kim Thompson. I'm an associate professor at the Harvard School of Public Health, where I created and direct the Kids Risk Project. And we're going to actually talk about two things today. The first one is I'm very pleased to announce that the Kids Risk Project is releasing today a guide for parents on media and kids that provides essential information for parents about the media. It focuses on four concepts. The first one is that learning happens and kids are constantly learning. The second one is that all media teach and parents need to recognize the powerful and pervasive experiences that kids can have through exposure to media, even when the entertainment media is not designed to be teaching. Third one is that media ratings provide important information, but they are not standardized. And the fourth point is that the ratings information does not tell you everything, which our studies document. And I will talk more about our recent study after I talk about the actions. The guide also talks about six specific actions. First of all, parents need to make good media choices and pay attention to the information available, and also to their child and their child's experience with the media. Sixth point, consume media actively, make media a shared experience, and tune in to what children are actually seeing, hearing, and feeling. Seventh, talk to kids about the media, use the media to begin discussions and to really start to engage them in conversations about some of the exposure they may have to messages about violence and or risky sexual behaviors or use of substances, which is something we're seeing in media. Eighth point is to teach kids to deconstruct media. Let's empower them with the questions they need to know and need to ask to understand why media products present the messages they give. Ninth, watch the media diet. So we need to pay attention to how much media kids are actually consuming. And last is to do all of us to do our part to make sure that media self-regulation works. We have to use the media ratings, demand public accountability and transparency of the ratings, and all make good choices. Okay, so now what I want to do is turn to the study that we have out in the current issue of of Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine, which is a study on the content and ratings of M-rated video games. And before I launch into our findings, I want to emphasize that we are motivated to study video games in the Kids Risk Project because kids are consuming a lot of media. The recent study suggests that in America, children are spending more time consuming entertainment media than they're spending in school. And we certainly believe that they are learning from the media, and we all need to ask the question, what are the media teaching? So the other thing I want to emphasize is that we were motivated to study M-rated video games because we know that kids are playing M-rated video games. You might think that we shouldn't need to study M-rated video games because according to the Entertainment Software Rating Board, or ESRB rating, those are games that, quote, have content that may be suitable for persons ages 17 and older, end quote. However, the video game industry continues to grow with over $7 billion in sales in the United States in 2004, according to the Entertainment Software Association. And children's studies of media use have found that in the last 5 years, the average time that kids spent playing video games almost doubled, and also have shown that kids are having experiences with M-rated video games. There are more studies that I can talk about in the context of references that are in the paper. But a couple of key things we know from the Federal Trade Commission report cited industry data that showed that in 2002, consumers purchased nearly 40% of M-rated video games for children under the age of 17. And in its mystery shopper surveys, the Federal Trade Commission has shown that that still 42% of kids 13 to 16 who attempted to purchase video games, M-rated video games, were successful. This is progress, but certainly not a cause for celebration. So kids are still getting access to these games, and anecdotally, we know from our experience that they're playing them and having exposure to the content in them. So for those reasons, we think it was very important to study the content of the video games quantitatively using a rigorous scientific approach, which is what we've done in our other studies as well. And let me now turn to the results. First, I think it's important to emphasize that nearly all M-rated games contain violence and blood. And similarly, they all receive content, nearly all of them receive content descriptors for violence and blood. All of the games in our random sample contained intentional acts of violence for an average of 22% of gameplay time. And all of the games rewarded or required the player to injure characters. So we are seeing that in these games, the players are getting feedback for their performance in these games involving violence. And we found that 92% of the M-rated games in our sample are rewarding or requiring the player to kill. In total, we observed over 6,000 character deaths from violence in approximately 42 hours of gameplay, which is basically deaths occurring at an average rate of 145 character deaths per hour. So when you think about how much carnage, virtual carnage, kids are seeing, there's quite a bit in these games. I think it's very important for people to pay attention to the actual amount of violence and blood in these games and what children are experiencing. Second, we've previously conducted research on teen-rated games, and one of the things we did is compare our results from our teen-rated study to our M-rated games. And we actually found that there was more violence in the teen-rated games than in the M-rated games. So this was an interesting finding for us. I think the key message here is that there's a lot of violence both in the M-rated games and the teen-rated games, and people need to be paying attention not only to the M-rated games but also to the teen-rated games, which are ones that are rated for younger kids. In addition, when we compared the violence that we see in the M-rated and the teen-rated games, we are seeing significantly more blood in the M-rated games. So the real difference for parents to know about is that M-rated games tend to contain more blood, and because of the increased presence of blood, they depict more severe injuries to both human and non-human characters than teen-rated games. We observed a higher rate of deaths in the M-rated games than in the teen-rated games. But if we condition that on the set of games that depict human deaths, we're seeing pretty much the same rates. So for those people who are concerned about violence in the media, you really have to pay attention to not just the things that tend to get the most media attention, which is the M-rated games, but also the teen-rated games as well. Finally, in our study, we observed 29 games, or 81% of our samples, with 45 observations of content that could warrant content descriptors that did not get assigned by the ESRB. And what this means is that we think that M-rated games may be a source of exposure to a wide range of content that is unexpected to parents. We found that the M-rated games are significantly more likely to contain unlabeled content than teen-rated games, 81%, for M-rated video games versus 48% for teen-rated games. So parents need to know that the absence of a content descriptor on the back of the game box does not mean the absence of content that might be of concern to them. And we also found that M-rated video games are significantly more likely than teen-rated video games to contain profanity and substances, or depiction of substances, but we're seeing similar levels of depiction of sexual themes. And again, this is going to the point that teen-rated games also contain a lot of sexual themes, and parents need to be aware of that as well. We do believe that the ESRB has the right mission, which according to the ESRB's website is, quote, to provide consumers, especially parents, with accurate and objective information about the age suitability and content of computer and video games so they can make informed purchase decisions. We believe that accurate and objective information is essential, and we're concerned with the inconsistencies that in what the ESRB is saying about its rating system. In particular, its comments to the Federal Trade Commission recently, the ESRB wrote, quote, the ESRB regularly commissions Peter D. Hart Research Associates to conduct surveys on awareness, use, and validity, not the accuracy of the ratings, and goes on to, end quote, and it goes on to explain why it can't actually assess accuracy. And this is, of course, in stark contrast to the mission statement that I just read to you, and also to its press release in November 2004, about that same commission study that was titled New Study, quote, New Study Shows Parents Overwhelmingly Agree with Video Game Ratings, ESRB Ratings Found to Be Highly Accurate, end quote. So given the important role of media ratings in the current strategy in our self-regulatory system, a system that gives us all the freedoms to create and to choose media and reflects values deeply held by all Americans, it's very important for Congress to ensure that the system works and protects children. Freedom depends on responsibility, and responsibility with respect to the media means that we need greater transparency in the current rating process. We believe that the ESRB should provide parents with clear information about its standards for assigning content descriptors in writing and on its website, and we believe that the Federal Trade Commission should continue its efforts to make to study video games and other media ratings. We don't think that we should only focus on video games. We've also done work on movies, and those studies have also shown things that we think are important for people to know about with those rating systems as well. But we think it's important for the Federal Trade Commission to continue to study the video game ratings, and also, obviously, it's very important for parents to make sure that they're making good media choices with and for their children. So thank you very much. I'll stop here, and I'll look forward to questions after after Dr. Carl.
Thank you, Congressman Baca, and certainly the caucus for inviting us here today. I'm Dr. Elizabeth Carl. I'm the chair of the Interactive Media Committee of the American Psychological Association. The committee was formed to help facilitate the recommendations of the APA resolution on violence in video games and interactive media. The effect of interactive media and violence has been looked at for the last 50 years. The resolution looked at the entire body of literature to see what the impact was and what recommendations we can make. More than four decades have shown that TV violence, as well as film violence, has a strong effect on the aggressive behavior of children and youth. Exposure to violent media increases feelings of hostility, thoughts of aggression, suspicions about motives of others, and demonstrates violence as a method to deal with conflict. It is these reasons why it is important to have an accurate rating system. However, video games and interactive media have certain qualities that are distinct from passive media, such as TV and film. For example, interactive media and video games require participation of the individual to play. So they get to rehearse and act, and whoever kills the most obviously wins the game. That repetition and reward is a great factor in learning. It also enables the participant to identify with a negative character or violent character playing video games. Therefore, this practice, repetition, identification with a violent character and being rewarded for numerous acts of violence may intensify the learning of violence. And with the development of more sophisticated interactive media, the implications for violent contact are a further concern. This is due to the intensification of more realistic experiences that are coming down the road with more mature and more technologically advanced games. So what are the effects of exposure of children to violence in video games? We know that studies further suggest that sexualized violence in the media has been linked to increases in violence toward women and the acceptance of rape myth and anti-women attitudes. Exposure increases aggressive behavior, again, aggressive thoughts, feelings, and decreases helpfulness to others. Research also suggests that the most popular video games contain aggressive and violent content, that girls and women, boys and men, and minorities are depicted in exaggerated, stereotypical ways. Sexual aggression against women, including assault, murder, is depicted as humorous, glamorized, and rewarded in these games. So what are some of the concerns regarding the rating system? Dr. Thompson certainly mentioned many in her study. Certainly efforts to improve the rating system for video games would be a first step in providing additional helpful information as to the content of games for parents, consumers, children, and the public. Currently, the labels are very general, and more content specificity is needed for parents to make more informed decisions about video games for their children that they play. For example, are there only a few depictions of violence, or is it a main theme? What types of violence are depicted? Criminal behavior, war violence, random thrill kill violence? Is violence linked with negative social consequences or rewarded? Wouldn't it be helpful for parents to know if criminal behavior is rewarded or glorified in video games that their children are playing? The scientific community should be involved in the development of a more accurate rating system to better inform parents and consumers. So certainly among the recommendations that APA made in that resolution was for the development of a more accurate rating system so that the content reflects what is in the video games and that parents and teachers as well as consumers can make better decisions as to the games they buy their children. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Thompson and Dr. Carr, you know, for coming here to the press conference. I'd like to also express my sincere thanks to Frank Wolf, who has really led the fight here at the national level, too, as well as we begin to deal with sex and violence and its impact it has on our children. And then with my co-chair, you know, Tom Osborne, as well, who has been one of the true leaders in wanting to protect our children to make sure that we have an accurate and true rating system. Because as we indicated before and stated it, that an individual assimilates that person, and that person is also rewarded for his or her action that he or she may be dramatized and taken. They think nothing of it later on when they go into society and commit some kind of a crime, whether it's against a senior, whether it's against a police officer, or whether it's committing any other crime or drive-by shooting or whatever the case may be, they're dramatized. So it's a behavior or a pattern that's there. And then, of course, a lot of these video games that are sold to a lot of our youth. And we realize that it's an industry that believes in making a profit, but yet we want our parents to be well-informed with accurate information and sound decisions, because we know that the parents also affect the lives of our parents, of our children, based on their attitude, their behaviors, and the morals that the children learn. So it's those morals and values that are taught by parents that the children then becomes, you know, an adult or a productive individual. Well, if video games then are influence in our children's behavior and moral conduct, then that also affects our society and our behavior in terms of what we are faced with today.